Hello, welcome to a special bonus Saturday DFS episode. When at what point in the season do I stop calling these a special bonus episode? Because it's not really a TJ. By the way, I'm Matt Harmon from Yahoo, and I'm here with
you. Took the words out of my mouth.
I'm here.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Really? You were thinking the same thing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how much I'm on autopilot at this point. Like, I'm like Ron Burgundy. Brett could put anything on this outline and I'm reading it, man. So, actually, that's probably, I shouldn't say that. But anyways, like, yeah, listen, is it really a special? It's not a special. It's not a bonus. It's the Saturday episode here of both podcasts because we're doing this every single week. As I mentioned, I'm Matt Harmon from Yahoo. That's TJ Hernandez from 444. Before we jump into all of our DFS thoughts for week six, little pre-show business here. Sign up for Yahoo Fantasy Plus. Take it for a test drive. Free trial, yahoofantasyfootball.com/plus. It's awesome. You need it. If you're listening to this podcast because you're a season-long player and it's like, all right, my season-long team sucks, it's time to just play daily fantasy. No, don't give up. Get Yahoo Fantasy Plus and try to win. Keep going. Do the thing. All right, TJ. I don't know if you want to talk some general daily fantasy thoughts from last week. We had a massive eruption game in the Chargers and the Browns. That whole situation, pretty unbelievable. I know we talked a little bit about that game last week. We talked about Nick Chubb last week. We talked, you know, it's always the Chubb thing, man. I got off Nick Chubb because of what we talked about on the podcast, and I hate myself. I hate myself for it. But now I know how tilting the whole Nick Chubb thing is. It's like it's a nightmare, man. It's whether you have him or not, it's like it's not fun. But I don't know whether you want to talk about that. I don't know whether you want to talk about pumpkin spice flavored things. But the floor is yours, my friend.
Man, those are two really good topics. I think that pumpkin, if I'm going with pumpkin, I like pumpkin pie a lot, but I want the cheap grocery store, not homemade, bad pie crust pumpkin pie with Cool Whip. I don't want a gourmet homemade pumpkin pie. I want a $6 pumpkin pie that could feed 8 people with Cool Whip.
So if I can take this, because I feel like what you're saying is you would rather play Devontae Booker for $12 as opposed to Nick Chubb. You know, listen, Devontae Booker is going to let you feed your whole lineup. Devontae Booker in that cheap price is going to let you fill your whole lineup, feed the whole family, whatever. I mean, you know, what I'm saying, Nick Chubb's bad, but it's just homemade, yeah, always like a risk.
Yeah.
Homemade is always a risk.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, no matter how much money you're making, no matter how many filet mignons you can afford, sometimes a quarter pounder with cheese is the way to go.
I mean, that's honestly the best daily fantasy advice you're going to get in the entire industry there, if you're smart enough to put it together. If you're not smart enough, TJ and I are actually just going to give you the answers here by telling us who we actually like in terms of plays this week. So let's just jump right into it. Yep. In terms of the quarterback position, TJ, your high-priced quarterback is, in fact, the highest salary quarterback of the entire slate, and it makes sense because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Can I actually just talk about both of my guys together here?
Yeah, that's mind? Probably smart.
Permission.
Yeah. I am granting Patrick you permission.
Patrick Mahomes, Taylor Heinicke down at $28, so a $12 gap. So Heinicke's not necessarily cheap. He's actually priced somewhat appropriately, but this is just a spot that a lot of people, I think, see Chiefs. They see high over-unders, and they're like, especially in tournaments like the Baller, do I lean into the chalk? Like, this is a spot I think we do lean into the popular plays. There's always different ways we could be contrarian at different positions. It's not just that this game has a 55.5 point over-under, both teams projected for over 24 points. It's how these defenses have been performing, not just allowing a lot of points, but how many points they've been allowing. We've been expecting teams to score against them, and it's still happening. The implied totals, the over-unders are high in all of these games. Still, the Chiefs have allowed every single opponent to go over their implied point total. So Vegas is projecting a number. They're still allowing more points. Same with Washington. 4 of 5 teams have gone over their implied point total against Washington. If we combine the points over the implied point totals by their opponents, 81 combined points over the implied point totals by their opponents. Both of these defenses, bottom three in schedule adjusted points allowed to quarterbacks, according to the 4-for-4 metric. We know why Patrick Mahomes is a great play all the time. Taylor Heinicke, maybe people might not be so familiar with him, but the thing we like about a quarterback like Heinicke, top seven in rush attempts this year, that's obviously going to give him a little bit more of a floor. And one of the underrated things about this matchup is I don't know, a lot of times when games go off the rails like this, it's because of some like fluke quarterback fumble sack strip type deal. Both of these offensive lines top five in adjusted sack rate allowed, according to Football Outsiders. Both of the defensive lines near the bottom of the league in adjusted sack rate, so should be really clean pockets for both of these passers.
And when you look at these two teams, both these quarterbacks, really, like, they're both turnover prone right now. I mean, the Chiefs have been, as an offense, have been extremely turnover prone. You know, I mean, Mahomes is just, I mean, we know Mahomes is QB Jesus. That's fine. But, like, he's been, more is being put on his plate than I think than ever before. And I think because of that, they're being forced into turnover situations. Additionally, I heard one of the Chiefs beat writers theorize that they know that Mahomes historically has been so careful. He doesn't put the ball in places where like it's going to be intercepted or something like that. So they've become even more, defense have become even more hyper aggressive in terms of trying to punch the ball out on guys like Tyreek Hill or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So the turnovers have been there, and Heinicke, all the turnovers will always be there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. Listen, I mean, the Chiefs game, I mean, we always talk about it kind of tongue in cheek, like it's an oblong ball. We don't know how it's going to bounce, but a ball literally bounces off of Tyreek's face mask for an interception. A defender gets his hand up when Mahomes throws one of his sidearm passes and taps it to himself for an interception. Like, those are two huge plays. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not only are we maybe looking at the Chiefs a different way if those don't go, we might be looking at the Bills a different way. We might not even be talking about Mahomes having a lot of interceptions, because two interceptions this early in the year is a lot. So in a literal and figurative sense, the ball can bounce a lot of different ways in this weird football game.
These two defenses, you mentioned it, have been one of the two of the worst, like most disappointing, I would say, in the entire NFL, especially Washington. Yeah, Washington has allowed the most air yards so far. The Chiefs have allowed the seventh most air yards. And I think the reason that they're not even higher on that list, like, both of them have been blowing coverages at an absurd rate, but the Chiefs also get crunched by the ground game too. They get crushed by every position this point. I am looking ahead on the outline if you have, because I kind of just think, like, this is the game that could turn into, like, Chargers Browns from last week. I don't know if you have any you know, we'll talk about the other guys as we get to it. We'll talk to you about the other guys as we get to it. All right. So your two guys are from the same game this week. And I think both of them, if you have a lean, which way would you go? Would you go the expensive route for Mahomes or Heinicke a little cheaper?
Mahomes, because I think basically in short, we're not going to have to pay up for running backs. You got to pay up somewhere. And I think this is a week to pay up at quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's really only one running back in the plus 30 range that's even mildly appealing, and he is my pick, so we'll talk about him there. Let's move to my quarterbacks, who actually do not play each other this week. They play each other last week. Lamar Jackson at $33. I mean, Lamar is just on fire right now. He's unbelievable. He is on pace for 5,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards. That's like, what are we doing here with the Lamar Jackson? It's unbelievable. And we know that one of the things that Lamar has done extremely well this year is he's thrown the ball deep. He's thrown the ball at a higher rate in terms of deep passes than any other quarterback in the league, at least going into last week. And he hit plenty of great shots last week as well. But the Chargers take away the deep pass. We know that. They're not going to give you big plays. But we did see the Browns make use of plenty underneath throws, screen passes, things like that last week. And we know that the Chargers really struggle to stop the run. Obviously, Lamar Jackson basically is the Ravens running game right now. I don't see them, you know, suddenly turn around and hand in Latavius Murray like 20 carries or something like that. I think Lamar is certainly in play, and which should also be an extremely high scoring game, I think.
Yeah, it's one of the best if we look at pace and plays per game. You can argue that it's actually a better fantasy environment than Chiefs and Washington, just because both the Ravens and the Chargers do pace up in their plays, and Lamar's going to give you plenty with his legs. I mean, if you look at, I would argue that he has the same ceiling as Patrick Mahomes this week, just because he rushes so much, and you're getting him at a $7 discount to Mahomes. So if you just think about it in those terms, despite the tough matchup against the Chargers, he's going to get fantasy points some way against the Chargers. Like, I don't think, as good as the Chargers have been, they don't come in and just shut down the Ravens, I don't think.
And maybe I'm misreading the field this week, but, you know, when I look at the quarterbacks, it's like the two guys in Chargers Ravens, they're in play. The two guys in Washington, Kansas City, they're in play. After that, it's like no one else really jumps out, especially in the cheap range, as you mentioned. The only guy I thought was interesting, you know, sub 28, like your Taylor Heinicke pick, the only guy I really thought was interesting is Carson Wentz. And so I wanted to bring up Carson Wentz here because right now, you know, I believe last I looked at it, the Colts are 10-point favorites at home over the Houston Texans. Carson Wentz is coming off his best game of the season from a fantasy perspective, from a real life perspective. And I kind of feel okay chasing that against the Texans defense. That's not good. Like the Texans surprised me last week with being, you know, in that they should have won that game against the Patriots. They should have won that game. So that was a surprising performance, but it was at home in Houston. That was one of the reasons that I shied away from. I can't believe like 14% of people had the Patriots as their survivor pick last week. That would maybe I didn't. I was like, I'm not doing that. That team's not good enough on the road, even if the Texans are terrible and it's Bill Belichick versus a rookie quarterback. But all that to say, I still do not have a lot of respect for the Texans defense. And I would much rather play. This is something I know you have talked about for years. We typically want to, if we're not going to play these quarterbacks in, you know, high scoring shootouts like the Chiefs in Washington or Ravens Chargers, you want to pick a guy who's going to actually be in positive game script. And I think especially for Carson Wentz, you want to rely on that efficiency in this situation, as opposed to like a situation where he's coming back from behind or in a point trading situation.
Yeah, and that's another reason why when you asked me Mahomes versus Heinicke, like I do think it's in the range of outcomes in that game that the Kansas City is hearing and talking amongst themselves about all the quote unquote negatives that we're talking about. And they go out and they're like, all right, we're just going to drop 40 in the first half. Yeah. And all of a sudden they're blowing the doors off Washington. But I mean, Wentz will be in really good game script. Houston is a bottom 10 team in adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. And even more important than the positive game script, one of the highest indicators of a good fantasy performance for quarterbacks is a high implied point total. And the Colts are have a 26.75 implied point total. And another thing that we didn't even mention at the top, which we probably should have when you mentioned after those top four guys, we're down to a 10-game slate now. With a London game, true, with four teams on bye, our options are limited. So we're going to, if we are saving from now until week 15, 16, we're going to be looking at these Wentz types if we want to save at the position.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. No wonder I feel like the options are so limited, because obviously we've got a smaller slate. Yeah, No, I mean, it makes sense. So Carson Wentz is definitely like the least appealing of all these guys we've talked about, both the player, all four of the quarterbacks we really ended up talking about there, including Justin Herbert. But if you do want to save a bit, I think Wentz in a positive game script is probably the way you want to go against bad defense. All right, let's move it to running back. As you mentioned, looking at the top of the running back slate, you know, CMC is limited. We're recording this on Thursday. He misses practice. Like, even if he plays, I don't know if you really need to justify the 38 there. Some of these other backs that are plus 30, they're tough to justify as well. So who is your top running back pick this week?
I'm actually going to stay in your game, your quarterback, Carson Wentz, his running back, Jonathan Taylor, at $23. You mentioned, we mentioned the spread there, 10-point favorites for Indianapolis against Houston. Jonathan Taylor averaging 17.5 touches per game. And talk about the running back environment. Dalvin Cook did practice, but we have six running backs this season that are averaging 20 or more touches per game. There's a chance that none of them are on the main slate this week. There's Kamara's on bye. Derrick Henry's off the main slate. Mixon's questionable. Dalvin Cook's questionable. CMC's doubtful. I don't remember who I'm missing, but they're not on the main slate. So we don't have like a reliable 20 touch guy this week. So now a 17.5 touch guy is kind of like gets near our ceiling touch guys. So we saw him get a season high four targets last week against the Ravens. Tons of scoring upside here, not just because they have a high implied point total and because he's probably going to be in a good game script where he's going to get more opportunities late in the game, but second most carries inside the 10-yard line with 11 behind only Derrick Henry. And with all that, he is 4-for-4's top overall running back value.
Najee Harris, I think, was the one you're forgetting. Najee Harris is not on the main slate either.
He's going to be in that barn burner against Geno Smith.
I can't believe we're not going to get Geno on the main slate. I really wanted to play. I really wanted to play Geno. That's why you got to play the single game contest so you can make Geno your superstar spot or whatever.
Oh,
so,
man.
3 carries for 23 yards last week, TJ. The legs are still there.
Here we are.
Gross. I'm not excited about it. You mentioned Jonathan Taylor. I wanted to make the case for Carson Wentz, but I agree that Jonathan Taylor is probably the best play in this game from a salary perspective. From just an overall perspective, look, you mentioned it. He's averaging like 17 and a half touches per game. They got to find a way to get more of that, man. Like watching that game on Monday night, he's just so he's so explosive. He's so powerful. Like, you know, I know Nyheim Hines is not going to give his roll up, and Hines is fine. It's just tough that they're still mixing in Marlon Mack too.
Well, they're
trying to trade Marlon Mack, so maybe it's like a showcase situation. But God, I would love to see Jonathan Taylor needs to enter that 20 touch range.
I mean, they're 1-4, so they haven't been in a quote-unquote Jonathan Taylor game script. So this should be, in theory, this is the game where he does what he did down the stretch last season.
Exactly. All right. My guy is Austin Eckler. He is the only one of the 30-plus backs who I keep mentioning. It's Christian McCaffrey, Aaron Jones, Zeke, Dalvin Cook, and Nick Chubb are all 30 or higher in terms of their salary. I don't think... Maybe Nick Chubb against a team that struggles with their run fit.
That's
we just covered the whole damn Nick Chubb homemade pumpkin pie thing, right? We just covered that. Yeah. So you know what the deal is with that. Zeke is obviously appealing, but you know, whatever. Austin Eckler, I think, is the only guy here that stands out as somebody that's in play for me. Austin Eckler's got a 16% target share right now. I could actually see that going higher at some point. You know, the Ravens just actually... Speaking of Jonathan Taylor, one of the reasons that I'm like, man, they got to give Jonathan Taylor more touches, even in the passing game. He takes that long screen play for a touchdown. Like, the Ravens defense is just whatever. I think they're like, you know, they've still got players like Calais Campbell, who's awesome. But I don't think they're a team that really makes me want to adjust my expectations. And Eckler's been good as an early down back. His success rate on early down carries is the highest it's ever been in his entire career. So I think that things are really trending well for Austin Eckler. And I could see him continuing to climb in a salary range. And in a high scoring game, I think he makes the most sense in terms of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, those Justin Herbert targets. I think Eckler is my favorite of the three.
I mean, the knock on Eckler for redraft players, the one knock we had, he was a first round pick, was that he hasn't typically been a 20 touch guy, and he doesn't get a ton of touches near the goal line. He went over 20 touches last week. He's one of six backs with at least 25 targets on the season. He had a 92% backfield touch share last week. That's just something we've never seen out of Eckler. 8 carries inside the opponent's 10-yard line, tied for 7th in the league. And I'm excited for the photoshops of Nick Chubb homemade pumpkin pie.
If we don't get one of those, I'll be disappointed. It's so easy. The jersey color, the helmets are basically pumpkin pie colored. Like, what are we doing here? It's just so easy at this point. All right, let's move to your second back here. Minor, you know, news here. Damian Williams, the Bears starting running back, was placed on the COVID-19 list. So you want to discuss his backup, who got more carries than I was expecting last week.
Yep, we got the news right before we started recording this on Thursday. So by the time you're hearing this on Saturday, probably be really pumped up, whatever projections or lineup generator you might be looking at, with Khalil Herbert all the way down at $14. We've seen basically what the Bears have done since Fields has taken over is they've given the game to their running backs, no matter who the running back has been. Chicago backs have combined for 36 touches per game over the last 2 weeks. And like you mentioned, very surprising split last week, even 18-18 split with Khalil actually taking over snaps and touches in the second half. And it's not like it wasn't a situation where, because they were beating the Raiders, they were giving Williams a breather. The touches were, it was only 3 more for Williams, I believe, in the first half. So they were playing them both close in the first half, and Herbert looked better, and he got more run in the second half. He has another 18 touch projection, according to John Paulson's projections on 4 for 4 right now. So at $14, that's a great touch to dollar ratio. And he's our top value under $15, besides one other running back that we might be talking about shortly.
I mentioned it off the top, buddy. Devontae Booker, $12. Come on, man. Listen, it's not going to be great, but it's going to be a homemade, non-homemade pumpkin pie.
No, it's going to be the Vons or Ralphs or whatever you wherever you shop at, not in California. Pumpkin
Food Lion for the regular for the people in the regular part of the country.
Yeah, probably a delicious pumpkin pie.
I mean, I don't know about delicious, but it will be passable. It will be passable. you look at Devontae Booker, man. You know he's going to play a little bit in the passing game. We know that. He scored a touchdown last week after Saquon Barkley missed, and obviously Barkley's probably not going to play this game. And look, they're. I believe the Giants are home. They're what, like 7-point home dogs to the Rams or 5.5-point home? Oh, 10. Oh, it's 10. Okay. Yeah. I mean, not an ideal situation for a running back, but he's $12, man. Like, he's going to help you access some of these guys that are higher salary, you know, in these Washington, Kansas City games, stuff like that. So, listen, it's not super appealing, but he is the guy that – I thought it was weird that they made him a healthy scratch a couple of weeks ago when Barkley was back and rolling, but because they gave him, like, a two-year deal in the offseason. So they kind of like the guy, I guess. But, yeah, I think he's just a salary-based play this week.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been, like, a – weird special team situation when he was a healthy scratch, which is often the case with running backs when they're a healthy scratch. But I mean, if we look at some of the other salary plays this week, Darrell Williams is up at 17, Chuba's up at 18. So I'm forgetting someone else, but the point is that for the workload that Booker's Darrell Williams, Devontae Booker at $12, it's such a big gap between him and the other value backs that he's still a fantastic play. He's actually a top three running back value on 4-for-4.
Yeah, he ran 29 routes last week. So again, he's going to be involved in the pass game. He's not like a two-down banger. Like Ramondre Stevenson might end up being in play if Damian Williams misses, but it's like, I don't know about that.
These, like, obviously the ideal situations are when our running backs are favored, but those are tiebreaker situations for us when we're comparing a Dalvin to an Alvin Kamara or something like that. But when we have these crazy values, like it's not ideal. He might not have a crazy ceiling for tournaments, but these are the value plays you want to be building around in DFS. These are the plays we want in DFS.
Yeah, at $12, you're just not asking for much here. That's kind of the whole that's kind of the whole deal. All right, let's move to wide receivers. Let's move to the fun position. Exactly. Love your pick here, Jamar Chase, $24.
And I think a lot of people are going to say, we have Kupp, we have Devontae, we have Tyreek. Where are they? They're really, really expensive.
Really expensive.
They're like more than appropriately priced this week. So Jamar is still relative to the field, still a top 10 salary guy, $24. But he is the concern. The one concern we had with Jamar going into the season, well, I don't think you and I were concerned about drops. Some people talk about drops.
That whole thing.
But I think the big concern, the obvious concern, was that they have a lot of mouths to feed, right? So, like, what is the target? What's a realistic target share for Jamar Chase? He's over 25% this year. That 25% is like kind of that cutoff for that wide receiver one role. He saw 27% with T. Higgins back last week. That's what really
huge.
Like says he is the guy here. He leads the league in fantasy points, Yahoo fantasy points on deep balls of 15 or more air yards. He has 60 Yahoo points on them this season. Debo has 50. Only four other players even have 40. So he's just dominating on the deep ball. No team has allowed more completions of 15 plus air yards than the Lions. So this is a spot where Jamar, it's going to really just lean into Jamar's strengths, and he's getting that workload that, like, I expected it to come at some point, because usually good receivers command a high target share no matter who else is on their team. I didn't expect it to come this fast. So all systems go on Jamar.
Like you said, I am not surprised that Jamar Chase is great. I'm surprised Jamar Chase is great this soon, like right away, like he is. That is the surprising thing to me. You're dead on about this. It's not like a, you know, I thought there was some folks thought maybe, okay, it'd be like a 1A, 1B situation with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. It's not. And it's not even like it's not even really like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are that close. It's a clear like 1-2-3 in Cincinnati. And I mean, Jamar Chase, like there's no one that has half a brain is going to like take targets away from Jamar Chase to throw them to Tyler Boyd. I'm sorry, Tyler Boyd's not a bad player, but he just is what he is. So yeah, I mean, especially this matchup against Detroit, it makes a ton of sense. I feel like Chase has only begun to scratch the surface of what volume he could get the rest of the year. So I like getting him at this price right now. I thought it was interesting, TJ. DJ Moore, $29 this week after we complained so hard last week that he wasn't priced appropriately. He actually has his worst game, and now
his worst game is that price.
What a killer. What a killer. I was ready to say, like, I was ready to have all this analysis about, yeah, I'm going back to DJ Moore this week, whatever. Nope, I'm not doing it.
I know.
It.
We had a whole segment that we were just going to play every week and not have to give any analysis because it was recorded.
Yeah.
They must have heard and they want us to work more.
Clearly, shout out to you guys for that one. All right, so my actual most expensive receiver, you mentioned it, is the most expensive receiver. It's Tyreek Hill. I just think he's worth getting up there for us.
I agree.
Especially if you're not paying up for running backs, which, as we mentioned, there's really not too much appeal there up at the top. Tyreek Hill, I think, is obviously in a great spot against the team that I mentioned leads the NFL in air yards allowed this year. Tyreek Hill is the best deep ball receiver in the NFL. Boom, boom. It's pretty simple. I think he's worth the $38.
Yeah, and when we have these Chiefs going nuclear situations, it's kind of always the coin flip. Is it a Tyreek game or is it a Travis Kelce game? This isn't a spot where I'm necessarily going to just look at fantasy points matchup because we do have Washington, who has given up a lot of fantasy points to wide receivers, not a lot of fantasy points to tight end. The tight end is always one that's tricky just because if you don't face an Andrews or a Kelce or a Waller, like, you might not give up that many, and they haven't seen a Kelce yet, obviously. But they do give up a lot of deep balls. Only two teams have allowed more completions of air yards of 20 or more. And that is where we kind of like have the tiebreaker with Tyreek. And we've seen it this year. Like, the Chargers game is a good example of these teams that have made a conscious decision to bracket or keep Tyreek under. Like, Tyreek might still get his a little bit, but not to the extent of the nuclear game. And Washington hasn't shown that they can slow down those types of plays this year.
Any interest in Mecole Hardman after 12 targets last week?
Yeah, for sure. You're not going to play him in a cash game setting, but the Mecole Hardman of this year compared to the Mecole Hardman that we were hoping for before is that before we were just hoping Mecole did it on a random three targets. He wasn't even getting on the field even when we liked him last year. He was playing like sub 20% snap shares. Now he's randomly sprinkling in 30% target shares, already done that twice this year. So if teams consciously take away Tyreek or Kelce, or just one of them isn't on, they have a pretty clear third option now in Mecole. Like, we've seen it two times in five games get a 30% target share. That's not a fluke on an offense that's this good. So if you're building tournament teams around this game, or you're looking for a way to, like, he's not going to be underutilized. I think his rostered rate will probably be in the double digits, but he's not going to show up on 20% of rosters. So if you're looking for a sub 15% guy to get in this game, I'm definitely using some Hardman.
And he's only 13 too. So, like, exactly. You know, if you're opting to get up to Tyreek Hill, it actually is not, I don't think it's bad to play them in the same lineup if you're really stacking up this game, back with Terry McLaurin or some of the other guys we're going to talk about later. Okay. Let's hear your second wide receiver pick.
Brandon Cooks. I mean, the usage, we've talked about DJ Moore all year about the salary not matching the usage. Brandon Cooks is the new poster boy for that. He's second in weighted opportunity rating, only to Davante Adams' weighted opportunity. Just looks at high value targets, not just target share. He's top five in targets per route run, top three in target share, tops in air yard share. So he's like, any usage metric you look at, basically, Brandon Cooks is at or near the top, and he's not close to price as such at all. We already talked about this game on the other side with Indy being a huge favorite, so it should be a pass heavy game script for Houston. The Colts have allowed the most touchdowns on deep balls, which leans into Brandon Cook's 13 plus yard average depth of target. And even if it somehow stays a little bit close, despite the 10-point spread, the Colts have funneled points to the passing game, 7th versus running backs, but 31st versus quarterbacks and 21st against wide receivers when we adjust for strength of schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it makes so much sense to go with Brandon Cooks, especially at that price. And I'm going to stay in that same game here. Michael Pittman, man, $15, way too cheap. Obviously, I think the pricing comes out, you know, before the Monday night game where he has that kind of eruption spot that we were hoping for a long time. You know, in terms of weighted opportunity, too, he's in that, like, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, Robert Woods range. So he's been getting the opportunities, top 15 in targets as well. I was so happy to finally see him and Carson Wentz connect on, like, a deep, big play because they have been just this close.
And it was just such a great play for Pittman. It wasn't just like a broken play or anything. He muscled that thing.
Oh yeah, he's good, man. He is a good real life receiver. I talked about it all off season. He's going to be one of the steals of the draft this year for sure. I know guys like Deebo Samuel and Mike Williams, who are actually definitely drafted ahead of him, came off like real hot this year. I think Pittman's going to catch up to them as well and was drafted even later. So yeah, I mean, as long as he's in this price range, I'm definitely going to continue to play him.
Do you usually talk about receivers a lot in the offseason?
No. I'm actually a big tight end guy, so let's transition to that. That position right there. The most enjoyable position in fantasy. Who wouldn't want to make that their whole brand? I have no idea.
I think that this is going to be quite an enjoyable week for tight ends, specifically Mark Andrews at $21. I mean, we talked about it being a like those weeks where is it Hill or is it Kelsey? This week we have two premier tight ends in really good spots with Mark Andrews. You're getting a really big discount compared to Kelsey. I believe Kelsey's all the way up at 30. So yep. you're getting a $9 discount, which is big on Yahoo. And if we look at 4-for-4's receiver breakout model, where we calculate expected points for every pass catcher, actually tied over the past 3 weeks, Mark Andrews and Travis Kelsey in expected fantasy points. So you can argue that the salary is actually really inefficient right now. If there's such thing as a tight end funnel defense, the Chargers might be that. They're top half of the league against running backs, fourth against quarterbacks, second against wide receivers, and 23rd against tight ends, which kind of makes sense. We talked about it with Tyreek and Kelsey with this same example with the Chargers. Like, they're going to keep everything underneath, right? They're going to be really good against the quarterbacks as a whole. They're going to limit those big plays to wide receivers. So we've seen teams run against them well, but you still need to pass to keep up with them. So it makes sense if you have to pass but can't get deep on them that the tight end would probably have a pretty good game. So I think Mark Andrews is in for a huge one here. It's not a function. I think sometimes people might have we've talked about so much about chasing points that sometimes have like an adverse effect. Like, oh, he blew up last week. Everybody's going to be on him. Like, this is just a really good spot for him. And because him and Kelsey are in such good spots, you're not going to get some egregious like 25% roster rate on Andrews. It'll be somewhat kept in check, maybe around 15 or 16% in the baller.
That sounds about right. And I mean, I think the same logic applies to Marquise Brown too. I know he's the deep threat of this offense, but we've seen him really take the next step in terms of his zone coverage ability, his ability to work in the shorter areas of the field. So even though he exploded last week at $17, I think Marquise Brown makes a good play in this game as well.
Can we do a quick little pivot? And do you have a take on if Watkins is out, like Bateman really coming off an injury and just stepping in and having a game? Because like, to me, that after missing so much of camp, missing so much of the season, and now everybody's like, oh, Bateman's ready, he's going to roll. I'm like, I feel like we should be tempering things.
Yeah, we probably should be, right? The logic would tell you that a guy who missed this much time in his rookie camp, you know, and even when Bateman was out there playing pretty well in the early part of training camp in the offseason, you know, Lamar Jackson spent so much time on the damn COVID list during training camp that it's
I didn't even think about that part.
Probably haven't thrown that many balls together. Mm-hmm. One thing that gives me pause, though, Bateman's really good. And Bateman is like a pro-level route runner, I think, in college. Mm-hmm. I think Bateman was a true, like, he was coming in as like a Justin Jefferson prospect to me, as like a guy that is going to be able to hit the NFL field and go right away. Yeah. Go right away.
Okay.
Obviously, the camp thing, the injury part throws it off, though, man. I mean, but there's a part of me, it's like, man, he's $10, you know, this week he's $10. I'm pretty tempted in a high scoring game. If Watkins is banged up, they might have to throw Bateman out there right away. Like, what are they going to do? Not play him in favor of old James Prochet or Devin Duvernay? I know the logical thing is to not do it. So
I have a feeling a couple people that talk about DFS for other platforms are going to be talking about Bateman, and it's going to make him really popular this week.
That is very fair, probably true, because he is a guy that's been very popular in like the fantasy Twitter draft. He's one of those guys that like everybody agrees on because he's that good. Like, there's no anti-Rashad. You know, sometimes it's like there's an anti-Kadarius Toney sect. There's like an anti this prospect sect. There's really no anti-Bateman sect in terms of
it's a void I'm willing to fill for 1 week.
For
1 week.
The only thing, I mean, I'll remember back in our heyday, TJ, when we were doing shows that nobody was watching on YouTube, and like Odell Beckham had his rookie year where he spent all that time away from the game, missing camp with an injury, missing the first few games, and he came out right away and caught a touchdown in his first game. You know, like
you heard it here, guys. Rashad Bateman is Odell Beckham.
Well, I did compare him to Justin Jefferson, who I said had Odell Beckham's rookie season just without the catch. I've said that like 20 times during my offseason. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's all a circle here in terms of these wide receivers. But, yeah, I agree. It's probably best to temper your expectations on Rashad Bateman, but I'm having a tough time doing it. Okay, let's move. Let's talk about something that's really exciting. Dalton Schultz, really exciting at $15. When I look at the rest of the tight end landscape, man, it's like – those high price guys, Kelce, you mentioned, obviously, but like Waller at 24, TJ Hockenson at 18. He's injured.
Hawk might not even play, right?
Yeah. I think he probably should sit out a week. Like, just rest up, man. He doesn't look right. The usage hasn't been there. I'm not playing Jared Cook at 18. I'm not playing Noah Fant at 17. Like, so the next like range I get to is kind of that Dalton Schultz range at 15. And this is purely narrative based, but like you would think that, you know, Bill Belichick wants to stop the thing that you do best or whatever. Right. I feel like that's going to be not Dalton Schultz, you know, but Schultz has been, has clearly overtaken Blake. Like, it's not a conversation anymore as to who the tight end one is in Dallas. Like, it's definitely Dalton Schultz. So I think he's in play at this pretty cheap price.
Yep. I mean, Dallas is one of the four teams with an implied put total over 27. So we've seen Schultz get have touchdown upside in this offense. And like you said, after the top two guys, I mean, there's two guys, and then there's a really obvious punt situation, and then there's just kind of meh. So I think Dalton Schultz, or a guy that I like at the same exact price in the same exact game, Hunter Henry, we've kind of seen his targets increase every single week. Last week that hit a tipping point with a 29% target share that resulted in 8 targets. And Dallas is a team that has been beat by the tight ends, are bottom 10 if we adjust for strength of schedule. Go back to that first week. We remember Gronk went for 890 and 2 against them. Go back a couple weeks ago, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, they combined for 6-119 and 1 line against them. So when they face good tight ends, they have struggled, and I think Hunter Henry does qualify as a good tight end.
I mean, what did Johnny Smith run, like 12 routes last week?
Ugh, ugh,
ugh. What a signing.
RIP my tournament teams.
I know, terrible. But
nobody wants to hear about our fantasy teams.
No, it's fine, but it is tough. Patriots' off-season overhaul of all these cute weapons is not really working very well. Is the obvious punt tight end situation the guy that I'm about to talk about?
Absolutely.
Well, then let's talk about Ricky Seals-Jones, man. Guy plays 99% of the snaps in replacement of the pride of Lynchburg, Virginia, Logan Thomas, who is on IR. He got 8 targets. I believe he ran a route on 87% of Taylor Heineke's dropbacks. Ran a ton. Like, this guy's a former wide receiver, like college wide receiver. I remember one of the researchers at NFL Network, Dennis Norris, and I talked, there's a name drop that nobody's going to know. Dennis and I going, like, I was watching Ricky Seals-Jones back when he's a receiver at Texas A&M, and he's like, Dennis is like, this guy can't play receiver in the NFL. Like, he's just, stop wasting your time. Well, here, all these years later, Ricky Seals-Jones is still in our lives. Again, it's a high scoring game. We've talked about this back and forth the whole time, but Ricky Seals-Jones definitely in play. And also, by the way, it's a revenge game.
It is a revenge game. That's a good call. Two targets inside the 10-yard line, which obviously more scoring upside in the high scoring game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He did get some targets in the scoring area. So, I mean, he just checks all these boxes, and he's $11. So you should probably go for it. Let's talk defenses here, TJ. I struggled with defenses this week. I actually found in my lineups, if you go cheap at receiver, you get Tyreek Hill at 38, and, you know, and then you kind of do the whole running back thing that we talked about, you can get up there in terms of defenses. I usually don't spend too much money on defenses, but this week I think you can.
And I think you kind of have to outside of one spot. Like, there's only one egregious salary, and it's the Rams down at $13. We already mentioned them as 10 or 10 and a half point favorites, depending on what book you're looking at. One way to kind of just look for values, if you aren't using a lineup generator or something like that, go to other DFS sites and look at what the salaries are of players. The Rams are the top salary defense on other major sites, and they're down at $13 on Yahoo. So it's just like, it's a big pricing error. So we just go with that. The Giants have the second lowest implied point total on the slate. They have one of the higher neutral passing rates, which is good for our defenses. We want defenses facing teams that throw a lot. So in case they don't get into a pass heavy script, they're still throwing and creating opportunities for sacks, turnovers. And the Rams are top 12 in Football Outsiders adjusted sack rate.
Yeah, it sounds like Daniel Jones is going to play, but still, mm-hmm. it's a turnover-prone quarterback. Even it's a shame it's not Mike Glennon. That would have been a real, real juicy spot. All right, my pick was the Vikings, and I don't love playing a defense on the road. You just talked about a road defense, though, too, and I think this Vikings defense is playing extremely well. I think they're rushing the passer real well. Everson Griffin was, like, a great signing, bringing him back there, and, you know, they're pretty opportunistic, and Sam Darnold at this point, man, that offensive line's a problem. I don't know what they expected. I don't know why they would think it wouldn't have been a problem. You know, they're doing the thing I hate on an offensive line when, like, as soon as an injury strikes, Cam Irving, obviously left tackle, then they start moving guys around. They move Taylor Moten mm-hmm. around. That's good. It just makes you worse at two spots. Hate yep. that. So now I think going into this matchup with the Vikings, who they're playing better defensively, not like one of the best units of Mike Zimmer's time there. Sam Darnold, obviously, like he basically gave that game to the Eagles last week when he's under pressure. It starts going haywire. So I don't mind them at 15 here.
It is one of the better D-line, O-line matchups in favor of the defensive line. And it's going to be hard to play home defense this week because 6 of the 10 games on the main slate feature a home underdog. So it's not going to be easy to find
that is what
a home favorite because there's only 4 of them.
That's what I found. It's pretty tough. All right, let's talk flex plays here. Love your pick of Daryl Henderson in that same game you just talked about.
Yeah, talked about the game flow for the Rams, and he pretty much is he's kind of the same exact play as Jonathan Taylor for $3 less. 10-point favorite, 17.5 touches per game, should be a really good game flow. I like that you can pair him with the Rams for cheap and kind of get a mini correlation play there. The Giants are bottom 10 in adjusted points allowed to the position.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl Henderson is getting that workhorse role, and he's looking pretty good with it. I just hope he can stay healthy, man. That would be great, but I don't know if I have confidence in that. I wanted to ask you, too, about the Washington running backs, because I'm tempted to play them, obviously, in a good match against the Chiefs, but Antonio Gibson, $23, this isn't really the game script you'd naturally want him in. I mean, though, then again, last week wasn't really the game script you'd want him in. He still got 20 carries. Like, the usage is pretty sporadic with him. And like JD McKissick, I would be interested in, but he's $16 and we're only a half PPR here. Like, that seems kind of stretching a little much when I can get Devontae Booker or Khalil Herbert for cheaper.
After a day off on Wednesday from practice with a shin injury, sounds like Antonio Gibson got a full practice in today. We're recording this on Thursday, so it sounds like he should be full systems go. I think just from a theory perspective, Antonio Gibson is a really good play just because in tournaments, we're not always looking for ideal plays. We're looking for the biggest leverage plays. And if everybody's going to be on both of the passing games and on Darrell Williams on the other side is one of the most popular value running backs. I think Antonio Gibson just makes one of the best leverage plays of the week. So that's a very good and tournament versus cash play can be a generic term, but it's one of the best leverage plays of the week a lot. So if you're playing in something like the baller where there's tens of thousands of entries and you don't want to load up or you don't load up on this game, that's a way to get leverage because if he goes off and the other players don't go off, that's where you start climbing up the leaderboard really fast.
Yeah, and that injury is just going to be a thing all year for him. Like, mm-hmm. I think he's just going to be constantly kind of nagged by that, which is a shame, but it is what it is. And I think that it's not as if Antonio Gibson's running no routes, you know. He's out there on a decent bit of passing plays. I mean, he's never gotten more. He got 5 targets in week 1, and then it's been 2 in every game since then. So it's thin from a passing game perspective, but still, he is out there on some passing plays. It's just JD McKissick is out there in like hurry up and catch up mode, which they could easily be in against the Chiefs.
And how ironic that when the guy that we're worried about, because he never played running back in college.
It's so weird. Just, it's so weird.
Now just, yeah, RIP that CMC role that Rivera was talking about.
But it's different playing like college slot receiver versus NFL running back receiver. There's a whole lot that goes into it.
It's just funny that was everybody's
narrative.
He's never played running back before.
Yeah, I know. It's like the one thing that everybody was concerned about is the one thing that he's great at, which is being like an early down banger. It makes no sense. And also, like, JD McKissick is a pretty good player. Like, he's one of these guys that fantasy Twitter will hate forever, but he's a good, like, he's a good NFL role player. So you're not getting rid of him there. The guys I actually also want to ask you about too, in terms of flex options, Allen Robinson at $16, Darnell Mooney at $13. Listen, I know the Bears are not opening up that offense whatsoever. They've been extremely run heavy. The first week, throw it out the window with Justin Fields because that was a nightmare. The last 2 weeks, obviously, they've been extremely conservative, extremely run heavy, but they've basically been in positive game script throughout their time against the Lions and the Raiders. You would think against the Packers, not going to be the case. Secondary is also missing Jaire Alexander, who's on IR. I mean, nobody's going to want to play Allen Robinson. I think some people will want to play Darnell Mooney because he's extremely cheap. And from like an air yards perspective, he's actually leading the team in terms of air yards right now. So, and not too far behind in overall targets as well from Allen Robinson. Like Mooney and Fields have had a pretty decent connection. So how do you feel about these Bears receivers as like tournament only flex plays?
Well, even though everybody's talking about how conservative the offense has been and how Fields isn't running the ball, which is completely egregious.
It's weird.
They went from a zero, literal 0% deep ball rate with Andy Dalton to a relatively high, like the overall volume isn't there, but they have went to a pretty high deep ball rate when they have let Justin Fields throw. I write an article every week for Yahoo that looks at my favorite stacks and my favorite contrarian plays. One of my favorite contrarian plays is Allen Robinson because 30% of those deep balls from Fields have went to Allen Robinson. Even before Jaire Alexander got hurt, the Packers were one of the worst teams in the league at allowing the deep ball. And then we saw without Jaire, Jamar Chase just goes nuts on them last week.
Exactly.
So I think Allen Robinson is set up to be in a really good, I don't think you need to stack this game. You can just play Robinson. He's going to be in like, he'll probably be on 1% of rosters at the most. And you're getting him in at $16. So I actually like him over Mooney because I think Mooney just might get a little bit of steam just because he's 25% target share and he's the rookie Justin Fields connection, which is me making fun of myself for last week. But I actually like Allen Robinson a lot this week.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you said that because I was feeling that way, but I know I've got Allen Robinson blinders. So
that's okay.
I mean, look, he's still a great player. It just hasn't quite connected with him in Fields yet. And I think this could be the week that it does. The Jaire thing is a huge part of it as well. And did you? I mentioned this stat on our Thursday podcast at Yahoo to Dalton Del Don. Ironically, did you know this, TJ? Andy Dalton had the highest expected completion percentage in the league per Next Gen Stats. You know who the lowest is? Justin Fields. So, like, to just show you the switch in philosophy from a passing perspective between those two guys, it's huge.
When you're throwing it 4 yards past the line of scrimmage, your expected completion percentage is going to be high.
Very true. Very true. all right, let's talk fades here. And one of your fades is one of the guys I just talked about.
We haven't argued in so long. I felt like we were getting along too well.
Yeah,
so
true.
I had to create some tension. I mean, Ricky Seals-Jones, in a vacuum, he's a good play. Yahoo's primary games are tournaments, especially the baller. So from a tournament theory perspective, when we're getting a situation where a player like this is going to be popular, I do think Seals-Jones will be the third most popular player at his position besides Kelce and Mark Andrews. It's just typically a situation that we don't want to lean into. It's a low volume, high volatility position, high volatility player, backup in a situation that has, we already talked about, like the potential to go off the rails if they are in a situation where Kansas City just comes out and blows the doors off of Washington. The player that's most likely to benefit that is Terry McLaurin. Like Ricky Seals-Jones probably needs a pretty good, pretty close game script to succeed. And he really needs a touchdown to succeed. So I just don't like playing players like this when they're going to be in 20% of lineups.
You think he'll be in 20% of lineups?
Yeah.
Can we do set like an over under and like, I don't know, do a beer bet on this that I think I
would. Well, I'm not setting the over under at 20. That's bad.
No, that's what I mean. Set it as something
at 15?
Lower. 15. I'll take
at 14,
the.
14 at 14.
14 and a half, and I'll take
14 the, and a half.
Yeah,
I'll take the over.
I'll take the under.
I'll take the over. All right. Six pack of Miller Lights or six pack of IPAs?
Miller Lights, obviously. Duh. No, I'm not really a Miller Light guy. I'm actually more of a I'm fine with Miller Light, but like if I'm gonna drink light beer, it's probably I mean, I'm like a cheap Mexican like beer guy. Like, so you can give me a six pack of Landshark. Now we're talking. Jimmy deal. Buffett's beer. Deal. Cool. Deal. All right. Cool. Deal. You got to find the ownership numbers on that, though. I don't know.
I'll find it.
Which is now you're just going to bias the numbers or whatever. TJ's going to be tweeting about how Ricky Seals Jones.
I'm going to steam Ricky Seals Jones. It's like all a must for those play. Six beers.
all for six beers. Yeah. All right. Cool. Deal. The guy I'm fading this week is Aaron Jones at 33. Not a lot of good, even though this is a situation where you kind of would want to use Aaron Jones, right? Because he's a great back, number one. The Packers are favorites, yada yada, good situation. But like, I do really believe that AJ Dillon is legit creeping into his role a little bit. AJ Dillon gets 4 targets last week. You know, in terms of routes run, he's kind of the same as he's been all year. But I think that AJ Dillon's a good player. I think that I kind of thought that this was going to be the situation all year. Not that it would hurt Aaron Jones that much, but like, especially in cleanup duty, as we saw a couple of weeks ago against the Steelers, I definitely think AJ Dillon's going to be out there. So I think that Aaron Jones, just at that cost, is not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, they're AJ Dillon, 47% touch share in week 4, 39% touch share in week 5. So it's like getting really close to that 60-40 split where I think it kind of evens out at. And I might have seen, maybe I made this up, but I thought I saw something come across a ticker where Matt LaFleur after that game was like, I wish I would have got Dillon more passing work, more touches.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And Aaron Jones, I don't know if you mentioned, limited in practice on Thursday. Mm-hmm. He's a little banged up with an ankle right now. He hasn't had like a huge game. I think both these guys are buys in season long though right now. Like if Aaron Jones doesn't have a big game this week, I'd buy low on him in season long. And I think AJ Dillon is like a high upside flex every single week, and a guy that has monster upside if Jones ever misses time, and he's already banged up. So there you go on that one.
Yeah, I kind of just don't love this spot for the Packers in general at Chicago against a good pass rush.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I'm not really gassed up about any Packers this week. I can't believe you think Ricky Seals Jones is going to be in like 20% of lineups. He's Ricky Seals Jones, bro.
We'll see who's drinking the beer, Matt.
All right. Sounds good. Well, on that note, that is going to do it for the two of us. TJ, why don't you tell the people all about all of the DFS MVP things you've got going on?
Yeah, besides this show, every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, you can find me talking about all things DFS across all platforms. Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, you can catch me doing cash game reviews with Matt Savoca, my DFS MVP co-host. Sunday mornings on the 4 for 4 subscriber-only Discord, we're doing a last look at our GPPs. That's at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. Again, that's subscriber-only Discord. Go to 4 for 4, go to my Twitter, and you'll find it there.
I bet you that Sunday morning Discord is just going to be like, everybody play Ricky Seals Jones. I don't even care.
It doesn't matter how much money I lose in DFS this week. I need the six pack. As long as I get the six pack, who cares if I'm firing off 4 months written DFS?
I mean, what a guy. What a hero. What a legend. A man of the people, if we've ever heard one. That's TJ Hernandez. All right. Yeah. Of course, if you found this via the DFS MVP, please check out the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. There's a lot of great episodes basically every single week, every single day of every week is what I mean by that, of course. And I'm on the Thursday episodes with Dalton Dale Don and the Sunday recaps with Liz, in addition to this one as well. But that is going to do it for us. I'm at @MattHarmon_BYB. On Twitter. That's at TJ Hernandez on Twitter. Make sure to check out the whole crew at Yahoo Fantasy. Until then, we're out.